Today, the buy now, pay later debt trap. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Buy now, pay later arrangements allow consumers to buy and receive goods and services immediately from a merchant and repay a buy now, pay later provider over time. These arrangements continue to be embraced by many consumers as a payment option for goods and services and as part of the further evolution of the retail payments and consumer credit markets. Those options are often on checkouts on retailers' websites, and they can help spread the costs of purchases interest-free, potentially avoiding expensive credit charges. But 1 in 10 or 10% of shoppers who use buy now, pay later have been chased by debt collectors, according to research in the UK by Citizens Advice. And around 1 in 8 or 12% of those aged 18 to 34 year old using the service had received contact from or been referred to debt collectors, the charity's research also found. And some people end up spending more than intended and slide into debt that they cannot comfortably pay back. Now, the UK government announced in February that interest-free buy now, pay later credit agreements will be regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority, the FCA. In other words, they are credit products. Citizens Advice estimates from its latest research that shoppers using these agreements across the UK were collectively charged around £39 million in late fees in the past year. And it commissioned a survey of more than 2,000 adults across the UK in July who had used the service in the previous 12 months. Of those who were referred to a debt collector for missed payment, 96% said they'd experienced negative consequences. Negative experience included sleepless nights, ignoring texts, emails and letters in case they were about debt, avoiding answering the door, borrowing money to repay the debt, or deteriorating mental health. The charity raised concerns about shoppers being ill-informed, with customers being left to dig around in the small print or terms and conditions to find out credit agreement information. Citizens Advice asked buy now, pay later firms if they ever referred customers to debt collectors. Klarna, Clearpay, Laybuy and OpenPay confirmed they do this as a last resort, the charity said. It emphasised that debt collectors do not have the same powers as bailiffs. The charity said debt collectors do not typically visit someone's home, although this occasionally does happen, and they don't have the right to take belongings. A buy now, pay later debt cannot be passed to bailiffs unless there is an unpaid court judgment added. Citizens Advice said that a woman, aged in her 60s, was trying to buy plants online but struggled to find the postage cost at the checkout and decided to abandon her purchase. The Keen Gardener was surprised to receive an email saying she had signed up to buy now, pay later agreements and tried to cancel her order. I couldn't sleep. I lay awake worrying that someone was going to turn up to my house and start taking things, she told Citizens Advice. I really don't understand how I ended up paying for my plants through buy now, pay later. I didn't understand what it was. Then I was getting these threatening emails saying they're going to contact debt collectors, and I got a letter from a debt collector. I couldn't sleep. I lay awake worrying that someone was going to turn up to my house and start taking things. I have a number of health issues, and I was worried that this was going to make me ill again. It was eventually resolved, but at great stress to me. Millie Harris, a debt advisor at Citizens Advice in East Devon, said, "My concern is that people aren't processing the fact that buy now, pay later is credit. They don't realise that there are going to be consequences if they don't pay. It gives them a full sense of security. I've seen people using it for their kids' clothes and shoes that they would otherwise never be able to afford. And they're taking out what is effectively a loan, but they don't see it as one. For example, I helped one who was tens of thousands of pounds in debt, but they didn't see buy now, pay later as part of that total. It's almost under the radar debt. Dame Claire Moriarty, chief executive of Systems Advice, said a seamless buy now, pay later checkout process should not mean shoppers have to dig around in the small print to find out they're taking out a credit agreement and could be referred to debt collectors if they don't pay. The warnings should be unmissable. Citizens Advice is urging anyone who's been contacted by debt collectors to get free independent debt advice. Georgina Whalley from OpenPay said OpenPay doesn't use enforcement agents, bailiffs or other forms of in-person debt collection service. We do refer some outstanding arrears to a third party, but OpenPay customers are only contacted via SMS, email and post, never in person. And ClearPay said, as a last resort, we sometimes pass information to a debt collection agency. However, those are regulated by the FCA and work within the guidance and frameworks of treating customers fairly. And Lay-by said, Lay-by only refers a customer to a debt collector as a last resort and only after other attempts to collect the outstanding payments have been exhausted. When a debt is referred to a debt collector, we only ever refer outstanding purchase price of the product, late fees, which are limited to a maximum of £24 for a single order, are never passed on to a debt collector. And Lay-by also pays all the costs for debt collection. Alex Marsh, head of Klarna UK, said, at Klarna, we only ever use debt collection agencies to help us contact customers we're unable to reach, and we do this on fewer than 1% of orders. The debt collection agencies we work with are all FCA authorised and will only contact customers by telephone or email and do not use bailiffs. We encourage any of our customers whose circumstances have changed to get in touch so we can help them to plan to get back on track. Now, in New Zealand, legislation was passed in December 2019 to give the New Zealand government a regulation-making power enabling it to declare an arrangement or facility such as a buy-now, pay-later arrangement to be a consumer credit contract. But in Australia, other than a weak self-regulation by the industry, this form of credit is not even classified as credit, and there are few protections for those who use buy now, pay later services, which continues to boom. In fact, in November 2020, ASIC published a report on the industry, which basically highlighted it as it had grown substantially since their initial review earlier. The total amount of credit extended in the buy now, pay later industry almost doubled in 12 months. ASIC's latest report, which is an industry update, charts the growth and popularity of those arrangements. Notably, the number of buy now, pay later transactions increased from 16.8 million in 2017-18 financial year to 32 million in the 2018-19 financial year. That's a 90% increase. The number of transactions increased from 1.9 million in June 2018 to 3.4 million in June 2019, representing an increase of 75%. The number of transactions moves in response to seasonal trends, with an increase in the period leading up to and including December each year. And there's no recent public data on transactions through COVID, but our research indicates continued significant growth. The total value of all transactions increased by 79% from $3.1 billion in 2017-18 to $5.6 billion in 2018-19. And a breakdown of this amount by buy now, pay later provider shows that there are some significant variations. ASIC's research shows that one in five consumers are missing payments. In the 2018-19 financial year, missed payment fee revenue for all buy now, pay later providers in the review totaled around $43 million. That's a growth of 38% compared to the previous financial year. And total revenue from buy now, pay later arrangements across the six providers in the review grew by 50% from $266 million in 2017-18 to $398 million in 2018-19. Revenue sources included merchant fees, missed payment fees, and other consumer fees like establishment fees, account keeping fees, and things like that. The revenue sources differ in proportion across each of the providers, which reflects their different business models. Although the percentage of transactions incurring mispayment fees is relatively stable, the growth of the user base in buy now, pay later arrangements means the number of mispayment fees incurred continues to grow. In 2018-19 financial year, missed payment fee revenue for all buy now, pay later providers in the review totaled over $43 million. That's a growth of 38% compared to the previous financial year. And in 2018-19, most completed transactions were made by consumers under the age of 35. For completed transactions that incurred missed payments, the same age cohort accounted for 67% of these transactions. And in 2018-19, over 1.1 million transactions incurred multiple missed payment fees, which represents 45% of all transactions that incurred missed payment fees. And the number of missed payment fees incurred is growing at a similar rate to the total number of transactions. Over the three-year period to June 2019, missed payment fees represented up to 15% of total revenue. In the same period, missed payment fees represented up to 44% of consumer revenue from all sources, including account keeping fees. ASIC found that users of Afterpay, OpenPay and OxyPay before its April 2019 merger with Certegy EasyPay had a higher percentage of transactions that incurred missed payment fees. These percentages have changed slightly over the past 3 years. In the last 12 months, in order to make their buy now, pay later payments on time, 20% of consumers surveyed said they cut back on or went without essentials like meals. And 15% of consumers surveyed said they'd taken out an additional loan. Their sample is a randomly selected group of customers of 1,655 consumers who had used a buy now, pay later arrangement in at least the last 6 months. Of the consumers who said they cut back on or went without essentials in order to make buy now, pay later payments on time, 49% were aged between 18 to 29. 32% had also held a small or medium amount credit contract, that's basically payday loans. 50% also missed a payment with a buy now later provider, and 27% made at least 6 buy now pay later purchases in the last 6 months. And for the total population, 37% were aged 18 to 29, 22% held a small or medium amount credit contract, and 21% missed a payment, and 22% made at least 6 buy now, pay later transactions in the last 6 months. Of the consumers who said that they'd taken out an additional loan in order to make their buy now, pay later payments on time, 50% were aged between 18 to 29, 44% also held a small or medium amount credit contract, and 68% also missed a payment with a buy now, pay later provider, and 31% made at least 6 buy now, pay later purchases in the last 6 months. These consequences were more prevalent among consumers who used multiple buy now, pay later arrangements. While 16% of consumers who used one buy now, pay later arrangement in the last 12 months reported having to cut back on or go without essentials to meet their payments, this increased to 20% of consumers with two such arrangements and 25% of consumers with three. And while 10% of consumers who used one buy now, pay later arrangement in the last 12 months reported having to take out an additional loan to meet their payments, this increased to 13% of consumers with two such arrangements and 20% of consumers with three. So they conclude that buy now, pay later arrangements are clearly popular as a payment method. While working for the majority of users, some consumers are suffering harm. There are regulatory changes coming that will impact the industry, with the design and distribution obligations coming into effect in October 2021. The industry has developed a code of conduct, and ASIC expects the industry to work collectively to develop a code that provides good consumer outcomes across the diverse range of business models operating in the industry. Together, they say the regulatory changes and the code of conduct provides an opportunity for the industry to address consumer harm. But of course, the main issue is it's not seen as a credit product and it doesn't actually get controlled by the rules that control access to credit. Now, as reported in the AFR, the corporate regulator will launch a new probe into the buy now, pay later sector to ensure the likes of Afterpay and Zip heed new design and distribution obligations. ASIC's Deputy Chairman Karen Chester confirmed that the sector would be the first near-term cab off the rank to experience the regulator's new DDO powers. On the whole, buy now, pay later is awesome for most consumers, but unfortunately, for one in five, it is a very expensive form of credit, Ms. Chester told the Australian Financial Review Business Summit back in March. Ms. Chester said DDO was a fundamental game changer because it allows us to go in with precision and to just deal with where the harm is occurring. DDO requires product providers to document a governance framework to cover the consumers they target. That, coupled with product intervention powers, allows ASIC to step in and block products that could be deemed harmful. The DDO powers, which come into effect on October the 5th, will be used as a regulatory lever to address the harms of buy now, pay later in a precise and targeted way, Ms. Chester said. And she hinted that the probe would focus on operators that generate a high proportion of revenue from late payments. Afterpay co-founder Anthony Eisen said buy now, pay later was now a generalized term to describe a whole load of business models. And he told the summit the DDO and product intervention power structure were good tools as they could distinguish between different business models and focus on where there was consumer harm. The industry should be regulated, and it is regulated, he said. If you're doing the wrong thing by the consumer, you should be dragged through the coals. There's no two ways about it. To have an approach that says not everyone is created equal is very important. But there are two fundamental questions here. The first is, there is considerable harm being done to a number of people who use these facilities because often they're not clear about how they work and the implications of missing payments. Secondly, it's clear to me from my surveys that people with multiple buy now, pay later accounts are actually able to rack up considerable amounts of debt, which then create pain later. These products need to be classified as credit products, and they need to be regulated as such. I'm afraid the DDO regulations, as ASIC is talking about, are too weak and too limited. And of course, we have no information in Australia about to what extent debt collectors might be used in the process, but perhaps we'll hear more about that down the track. But the bottom line is this: buy now, pay later facilities in many cases can be a useful extension of people's spending capacity, providing they understand what they get into and understand the implications if they don't pay on time when required. But unfortunately, there are a number of people who are not clear about what they've signed up to and get into considerable amount of difficulty. And as ASIC highlighted, a lot of those are younger, perhaps less experienced people, perhaps people under significant financial pressure, especially now with COVID being so significant. And therefore, my concern is that this buy now, pay later sector of the industry has basically managed to con everybody in Australia into believing that it's not even a credit provider. And yet, in the UK and in New Zealand and other places too, it is clearly regulated under credit. That should be something also coming to Australia, and coming to Australia soon. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.